Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake with Matt on Saturday. What's today? 22nd. NBA playoffs are going on right now. First day of the first round. We were going to talk about them yesterday, but some stuff came up. So we're watching the end of the Brooklyn game, maybe the start of the Portland game as this is recording. Really shouldn't affect our series and playoff outlook, though, the first few games that have already happened.
Yeah, no, they, for the most part, I think, went how we were expecting them to go.
We're going to quickly talk about the playing game, just what we thought, and then talk about each of the playoff series real quick. But in the meantime, Matt, any news since the draft that we want to catch up on?
Not that I know of. I mean, I'm about to be out of school for the summer, which is good for me. That's obviously not really a wee thing.
Yeah, the Champions League final's in a week or two, I believe.
Champions League final. Chelsea going to the Champions League final, and I'm a Chelsea fan, so I am thrilled about that.
Manchester City and Chelsea are probably my two least favorite teams, but I love Christian Pulisic, so I'm actually putting that on hold for a few years and going all in for Chelsea.
Well, because Christian Pulisic may not play, in which case you would hate Chelsea even more.
Probably won't watch.
Yeah. So it's I don't know. See, I started when I tell people that I'm a Chelsea fan, especially people out of the country, like I was in England for a little bit, it's like, oh, you're just a bandwagon American fan. But, like, I'm not going to cheer for Nottingham Forest, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like bandwagon fan, I am a Manchester United fan, I've been saying this, but I feel like it's Manchester United, Real Madrid, and Barcelona. I don't feel like Chelsea's really, like, and I'd feel like even Arsenal, Arsenal's like the hipster club, so that's more of a, I don't know if bandwagon's the right word, but that's more popular than Chelsea in the U.S. Right. For sure.
Yeah, but, like, we picked our teams because they were good, obviously. But, like, I know that I was a Chelsea fan because we started watching soccer in the 2006 World Cup. And I loved the Ghanaian team and how far they went. They were kind of an upset. Michael Essien was the captain of that team, and he was on Chelsea. I was also a big fan of Peter Schick because I played goalie at the time. And he was also a Chelsea player, so that's kind of how I ended up there.
See, I liked Michael Owen, who played for Newcastle, and then he went to Manchester United. So Newcastle and Manchester United are my favorite teams. And then I just ignored that he went to play for Liverpool for a little bit there.
Yeah, that's fair.
His goal against Argentina when he's like 19 or something like that is so dope.
Love a good goal against Argentina.
Love it. Should we talk some basketball?
Yeah, let's talk basketball. So don't worry, basketball people. That's all the soccer stuff
we have to say. I liked the play-in tournament. I enjoyed it.
I did not like the idea of it because I didn't think it was fair. But I thought it went so well. I thought it was great. And then think about the fair. I actually think it works out pretty good because, like, if you don't want to be in a playoff tournament, like, just be a sixth seed, you know? Because the NBA has by far the most teams make the playoffs of
percentage-wise.
Yeah, I mean, Major League Soccer might be getting close there. But yeah, I kind of already think too many teams make the playoffs in the NBA.
More than half's a little ridiculous, I think.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So the way this works out is if you're a 7 and 8 seed, you only have to win one or two games. And then if you're 9 or 10, you have to win 2 in a row, which is very hard.
Road games, possibly.
Yeah. And
9
so
gets a home game.
There's that. If you're 7, you get 2 home games. If you're 8, you get at least 1 if you lose. If you're 9 seed, you get at least 1, and then 10, you don't get any. So there are rewards at every single level the way you advance, which I think is really fun, that your odds of advancing get significantly higher, whether you're 10, 9, 8, 7. So I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, I think, well, like, a team like Washington, like, they were so bad at the beginning of the year. I don't remember their record, but it was just, like, terrible. And then because they had a big COVID mess. They were one of the teams most impacted by COVID. And maybe it doesn't matter, but I think having 10 spots instead of 8 spots, like, just increases the possibility. So they had – plus they had Russell Westbrook, who's always going to play hard anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, they got in, like they lost to Boston, but then murdered Indiana and got into the playoffs where they might have called the season earlier. And maybe I'm making that up, but that's the possibility.
Yeah, totally. And they, because like they were certainly one of the eight best teams in the Eastern Conference, I think, by the time we got to the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, they dropped like 144 in Indiana. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What's unreal to me is that, well, okay, actually, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say was there's definitely going to be some years where, like, the top eight teams are, like, clearly better than the ninth and tenth team. And at that point, it's going to be like, well, this is a stupid playing tournament. But there's also going to be years like this, like, Golden State on the last Sunday beat Memphis to get the eighth seed, and then Memphis beat them in that second playing game. So, it sucks for Golden State, but, like, Memphis and Golden State were clearly neck and neck. So they had a shot there.
Right, yeah. And if you're Golden State, you don't want to be in that situation. Get the sixth seed, you know? That's not asking too much of a playoff team, I don't think.
Yeah, Golden State just wasn't very good. Like, watching the game, like, I've watched Golden State, but, like, just, I feel like the playing game highlighted it. Steph is so good, and everyone else sucked.
Yeah.
It was so annoying to watch. Like, James Wiggins with, like, a minute in overtime, just clanked a three. Like, it was something like I would shoot, right. Like not even close.
Yeah,
like I don't. And they were like trapping Steph at the corner, like just when he came over half. I'd rather have Steph go 1-on-2 there than what anyone else shooting open three, really, especially Wiggins.
Yeah, and that's another one of their big problems. They still have Draymond Green, who's phenomenal, but Draymond Green is not nearly as good when he's, you know, passing to Wiggins. As he would be if he was passing to Klay Thompson.
Yeah. Well, I think next year, I mean, not to go too long on say, but next year they're going to get Klay Thompson back, Wiseman's back. They're going to get Minnesota's draft pick, which should be good. So they can either trade that for a vet or just get another young talent. So I think they'll be better next year. But I think Steph plus Klay coming back is going to be very beneficial. And I think the Warriors will be one of the few teams that can like win the ship next year.
Yeah, no, definitely. Depending on what they do with that Minnesota pick, they could be anywhere from, you know, like a six seed to challenging for the championship. If they really get that pick or that trade with the pick, perfect.
Yeah. Charlotte blew it at the end of the year. That's kind of my thoughts on the play-in tournament. I like it. I'm a big fan. I think we both like it. Should we talk about the playoff series real quick?
Let's talk about the playoff series real
quick. Is there any order you want to go in?
I'm
going to be able to talk more about some than others.
Yeah. Shall we start with the Eastern Conference? Go through Eastern Conference quicker because I'm more interested in the West.
Yeah, sure. The series I'm interested in the most is in the East, but the other ones, yeah, they're all the other three are kind of like whatever to me.
Well, let's start with the series that you're most interested in.
Can you guess?
I am going to say...
Like, this is the entire playoffs is what I'm most interested in.
Milwaukee-Miami.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Milwaukee obviously got ousted fairly easily by Miami last year. Miami beat them three times, or excuse me, Milwaukee beat them all three times this year, but James, or I don't know why I call him James. You think Jimmy Butler's real name is James?
No, I think his actual name is Jimmy, no. But that is a guess.
Well, Jimmy Butler didn't play in any of those three games, so you kind of throw him out the window. And Milwaukee, I feel like their whole season leading up to playing Miami in the playoffs, because they still don't switch that often, but they've been switching more and more. And even as like the season ramps up, like they've been switching more and more as the season's been going on, not just they started switching this year. And that's because of Miami. And Miami has really, Bam's really one of the top two or three guys that can guard Giannis, mm-hmm. I think. Milwaukee won in overtime today, which. Our mic just went out. One sec. Okay, our mic's back. So, yeah, so Milwaukee beat them in overtime today, which I was bummed because I had $5 on Miami winning today. But that's why I'm intrigued. Just a little revenge game. I think Miami thinks they're the better team. I think they wanted Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee wanted Miami as well. This is really the only, like, first-round game where I feel like there's an intensity and, like, a, I don't want to say rivalry, but, like, a history with the two teams.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely, in terms of the way that the teams feel about each other, there's a lot more with Milwaukee and Miami than any of these other teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited. I think I have my money on Milwaukee simply because I think if Miami loses, it's a disappointing season, but it was already a disappointing season for them to get the sixth seed, I think. If Milwaukee loses, they are going to have some serious questions, and I don't know what they're going to do because Giannis just signed his Supermax extension. So I don't know who would have the pieces to be able to get a trade for him because he has all those years left on his contract. And they don't really have picks that they can play with.
Yeah.
Their players that they would be trading would be older. Like Drew Holiday's not going to bring in as much as he might. Chris Middleton could bring in like something, but like they don't have anywhere to go. And so if they lose in the first round, then I just feel like there's going to be some panic in that front office.
Yeah, they traded. Was it 3 first round picks for Drew Holiday?
It was a lot. Three sounds right. It was definitely a lot.
Yeah, I think it's 3 or maybe like 2 and a swap or something like that. But yeah, so they got PJ Tucker, they got Drew Holiday. They obviously still have Chris Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez. Like on paper, they're a better team than Miami, but Miami matches up better with Boston, better against Milwaukee than maybe any team against any other team in the league. I'm sure there's some actual NBA like analytic guys who could correct me on that, but that's just what I feel like. If I had to pick one team to match up against one team, it'd be Miami against Boston. Or I keep saying Boston, Milwaukee.
Yeah,
I don't know why I keep saying Boston. But yeah, so I think Miami's gonna win. I think it'll go to 7 though. Like I think it'll be close, but I think Miami's gonna win the series.
Yeah, this was. I don't know. It's definitely gonna be close. I like Milwaukee. Not obviously we're Jazz fans, but they just seem to be a team like small market doing things the right way, and so I just want things to work out for them. And so if they lose, it would be such a bummer.
Giannis is obviously the best player by far, but I just think Jimmy Butler has more of a will to get Miami to win than Giannis does. Like,
just because Jimmy has more of a will than anybody.
Yeah, he's in terms of mental, like not 100% there. Like just having a little bit off that you need to. I think he's up there with anybody. And yeah. Like right now, he's the best in the NBA. I would put him up there, maybe a half a notch below Kobe in terms of like mental. Just something is not right in your head. Kobe was all on his own.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm picking Milwaukee. I'll say 6 actually. I'm gonna say 6.
That's a big switch. I'll go. Let's write this down. I'll write these down just so we can keep track of it. So I'm going Miami in 7. You're going Milwaukee in 6. Milwaukee did win Game 1 today. So yeah, those are really kind of my main thoughts on that series. Anything you want to cover before we go to the next one?
No, I think I'm good. So why don't we go to the 4-5 Knicks Hawks.
This is one I've flip-flopped so much on because I just don't really like either of these teams, honestly. It's crazy that Miami's a 6 seed and these two are the 4 and the 5.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I definitely feel like Miami is better than both of these teams. That just might be my biases against the Knicks and the Hawks talking. And, you know, I haven't watched a lot of the Knicks or the Hawks this year. I'm not going to pretend like I have. But yeah, Miami certainly with Jimmy Butler has the best player of all those three teams.
Yeah, I will say with the Knicks, I was surprised when Julius Randle wasn't better when he came out of college out of Kentucky in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't think he'd be like this good. He's been really, really good this year. I thought he'd be a step below what he is now, but much more consistent.
Uh-huh.
Maybe just needed the right fit. Maybe just needed the right, just a little time to figure it out. But he's playing much more what I expected. I really thought he was great at Kentucky, so I'm playing much more what I expected. I think, and I still think Trae Young's the more talented player, but if I had to pick someone on, like, a team, would you pick Julius Randle just because he's not, like, the worst defensive player in NBA history?
Yeah, I mean, the defensive liabilities are a real problem for Trae Young. He, especially in the playoffs, he's going to be picked on every single possession. And the Knicks definitely have players that are going to be able to get past him and score on him. Derrick Rose, you know, being one that I'm really excited to watch and see how he does in the playoffs.
It's crazy he's back in New York. Like, this is a second go around
there. I know, that is funny.
It's weird. Yeah. Derrick Rose, we could do a whole thing on Derrick Rose's career arc someday.
Yeah, he certainly has a lot of really valuable playoff experience that is going to help the Knicks. I don't know how many players on Atlanta have a lot of playoff experience. Certainly,
I don't think any of them do.
Not really very many in the starting lineup.
No significant ones do that I can think of.
Sure. They have been playing really, really well under their new coach. So that is going to be interesting. I think it's always good to pick teams that are hot and playing well. And I guess, I think the Hawks and the Knicks, those are like two losers. But I think I am going to go with the Knicks.
I think I'm going to go with the Hawks. I think it'll be Hawks. And I've never been a huge Trae Young guy. As good as he is, and he's awesome offensively, but like literally just miserable defensively. But I just think they're more talented. The Knicks aren't, like, I love, like, Julius Randle thing is great. Reggie Bullock, Carolina alum, he's been doing great. Derrick Rose is one of the coolest people ever. But they're just not very good. And Tom Thibodeau, do you think he'll get Coach of the Year?
I don't know. I think Monty Williams might get it. I think it's too bad. The thing that is going to happen to Quinn Snyder is the thing that happened to Nick Raimondo. Which, and maybe for a basketball reference for the people listening to this, Kobe Bryant, who has just been consistently good so frequently that he's never, that it's going to be hard for Quinn to win Coach of the Year, because he does well every year, but I don't know that he's going to have a year where he has enough of a story or there's enough of a jump to make him Coach of the Year. Like Phoenix, even though they didn't play as well as Jazz, they had a lot bigger jump and are probably doing more with less talent. And then Tom Thibodeau, like, to take the Knicks to the four seed is incredible. So I think my pick is Monty Williams, even though I think Quinn Snyder should get it. I'm certainly not going to be upset if Monty Williams gets it.
Yeah, I think it'll be Monty Williams as well. I think Thibodeau will finish second just because the Suns had a better record in a better conference. But I didn't think Thibodeau would be this good.
Yeah, no, I mean, Thibodeau, I feel like Thibodeau is, you're going to get in the playoffs and maybe get to the second round with Thibodeau. It's going to be hard for him. I mean, he just hasn't really gone farther than that, so it's hard to think that he will.
Yeah, I feel like they hired him to get to that point, and then, you know, I probably suck for him. You have a lot of Dungeons & Dragons dice. I just noticed that.
I do, yeah. I've, collected them over the years.
I just noticed that. I was like, I saw them in my head, but like just clicked what they were. Yeah, I feel like they hired him to kind of reset the program, like get the foundation, the quote-unquote, the culture a little bit better, and then they might try to get someone after he's gone in the first or second round in a couple of years. But this is best the Knicks have done in a while. I think the Hawks are going to win partly because they are still the Knicks, no matter all the good things we've said about them. And the Hawks are more talented. I really like John Collins, even though he's been up and down. Big John Collins guy, Trae Young, I think, is the most talented player in this series, so I'm going with the Hawks.
I am going with Knicks and six, mostly because I like the way that it sounds.
Knicks and six. I'll go Hawks and six just for kicks. I'll go Hawks and seven because that would mean the Knicks lost in Madison Square Garden. So I'll go Hawks and seven.
That would be fun.
Okay. Yeah, so do you want to do the two, I think, least interesting series basketball-wise? I think there's a lot not basketball wise, which one do you want to do first?
Should we do Brooklyn Boston?
Let's do Brooklyn Boston. And I'm fascinated by this series in the sense that it's Brooklyn Boston. You know, there's Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett trade 10 years ago, which I think Brooklyn fans are still a little upset about. Kyrie Irving is playing the Celtics. I don't think people have really even mentioned that very much, just because there's so many other Kyrie Irving things to talk about. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum is awesome. The Nets, I think Zach Lowe said the Nets, like KD, Harden, and Kyrie have played, it was like 200 minutes together, which is not very much. So they're going to get their first shot as like actually playing together. We're going to get our first look at the Nets, like what we all think they are this year. And Jason Tatum is great. Jaylen Brown's out, obviously. I was going to pick the Nets no matter what, but especially since Jaylen Brown is out. But
yeah,
Boston was hanging in there. They were doing really well, and then obviously Brooklyn pulled away today, the game we just finished. I am just very intrigued, even if it might be like a 5-game series. I think it's an interesting 5-game series.
It is interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. The Kyrie stuff is always interesting, especially because he left Boston. What I'm interested about this series is I want you you know, we were upset with Danny Ainge because he got Gordon Hayward, but ultimately, BYU alum seems to be a good guy. I at least like Danny Ainge. I think we can say we like Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
I want you to explain to me why, considering that Danny Ainge traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to the Nets, got all of those picks, drafted good players, hoarded the picks, and now a lot of those players have left. The Nets are going to beat them in the playoffs. Explain to me why Danny Ainge should not be fired.
Well, I think the main reason is, I was guessing more why this is happening more than why he shouldn't be fired. I don't know that answer. They lost everyone for nothing. Like Gordon Hayward in particular left for nothing. They didn't get Kyrie. They got nothing for Kyrie Irving. So like all this stockpiling, they didn't maximize the investment. Like they sold low. They didn't really buy high because of draft picks, a lot of them, but they sold low for sure. They didn't get anything coming back. And like they just had a worse roster than they didn't really do anything to the roster from last year.
Right. It feels like Danny Ainge always wanted to win the trade. And he won a lot of trades, but because he was unwilling to lose trades, you know, he could have got Anthony Davis and did not pull the trigger. He could have got Paul George and could not pull the trigger. He just had opportunities to get a really good roster and just didn't do it. And if we're gonna let him keep his job, then like what? I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't know, because like 2 years ago, Boston was like Boston was like the team of the future, all this young talent, and now they're in a similar situation in Milwaukee in the sense that like. Like, what are their options to get better? Like, what avenues do they have to get better?
Right. Like, I mean, I get, like, I feel like the only player they have, because they're not going to trade Jason Tatum. So I guess you put Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown in a package and get somebody, but I don't know who you're going to get.
I don't either. So. I don't know their cap situation off the top of my head, but I don't think it's spectacular. I don't think they're huge free agent people the next year. I might be wrong on that, but that's what if I remember right.
Yeah, because I think that, Jaylen Brown just probably got a pay increase, and I think Jason Tatum was a year before Donovan Mitchell, so he should be on his, you know, if he's not a max contract, very close to that right now.
Yeah.
So.
And, Brooklyn, I'm interested just to see. I hate watching James Harden, but I'm interested to see if it works. I like watching Kyrie and Kevin Durant. I like watching Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of their, like, role guys that, like, no one including me can even remember their names are actually, I think, pretty good and pretty exciting. Joe Harris is an underrated player. Yeah,
Joe Harris fits well with everybody. Jeff Green found a situation that worked for him, which is
good for Jeff Green.
Yeah, like Jeff Green. I wish that it would have worked out with the Jazz.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, good for him. It's funny that no one in New York cares about the Knicks.
It is crazy. Like, the Knicks are the 4 seed, and the Nets have, like, the best roster, like, on paper ever, and no one cares.
Yeah.
It's wild. And, like, everyone's just so stoked about the Knicks. I wonder if KD and Kyrie Irving are like, we should have gone to the Knicks, or if they care.
When they were making their decision, I guess they hadn't fixed the coaching and general manager thing. The other thing is I don't know how great it would be for Kevin Durant to play 40 minutes a night with Thibodeau as a coach.
I don't think they'd get along very well.
Yeah.
No. So I'm going Nets and Cinco. I think Boston will get one.
I'm going to say Nets and 4.
See, I lean even closer to 6. Like, I think Boston might get a couple just because it's a... Again, I don't know if it's a rivalry, but it's definitely an intense game. And yeah. Jason Tatum's so good. I think you get one, maybe two, but I don't think if it is 6, it won't be a close 6. But I think Tatum can maybe steal a couple.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, last one is Philly-Washington. I think Philly's going to steamroll Washington as much as I was praising them like 10 or 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, as much as nobody has an answer for Joel Embiid, certainly Washington does not. It will be fun to see. I like seeing watching Russell Westbrook play. It's been fun to see Bradley Beal do so well, but I just think that Sixers are going to be too good.
Yeah, Bradley Beal's unbelievable. I'm excited to see Westbrook and Embiid, unless I miss something, do not like each other very much. They definitely did not. I think that's still the case.
I mean, those are two players that get in arguments with other people. Yeah. So it makes sense that they would not like
and
each other.
Ben Simmons and James Harden, we were just talking about James Harden, but Ben Simmons is my other least favorite player in the league. But he's good. He's a very good player.
He's very good. You know, he might win Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah. He's had a good campaign. Mm-hmm. So
we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think Philly and four. I'm really excited to see Philly, Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I maybe believe in Milwaukee more than a lot of people do, but it's going to be hard for them to beat the Nets, I think.
Well, I think Milwaukee's losing this round.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You got Philly and four as well?
Philly and four, yep.
Okay. That's the only one we've agreed on. Well, we agreed on the Nets as well.
Let's do this real quick. Who do you have? Do the semifinals, but who do you have coming out of the East?
Philly. Yeah. No, Brooklyn. I don't know. I want to say Brooklyn. I just haven't seen him.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Philly.
I'll pick Brooklyn then.
Okay. I get interesting.
Yeah.
Good. Shall we do the West?
Let's do the West. Do you want to do the Jazz first or last? Because that's obviously, I feel like, the most we're going to talk about. Since we're Jazz fans,
let's do them at the end.
Okay, perfect. Well, what series do you want to talk about first then?
Let's just go bottom of the bracket, I guess, to the top, which would be Phoenix Lakers.
Feels so bad for Phoenix.
Yeah, real bummer.
They worked so hard to have their first time to make the playoffs in I think 10 years, and a great season at that. One game away from being the number one seed. And they get LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Yes, it does sting, particularly because you know, Phoenix has done so well because they have Chris Paul and Devin Booker, which is great, and those guys are going to play well in this series. But I don't think they have anybody I think Jay Crowder is going to do as good on LeBron James as anybody could. But really, I don't know who else they're going to be able to put on LeBron James. They certainly don't have anyone to put on Anthony Davis. I'm not thrilled about DeAndre Ayton guarding Anthony Davis.
Think if the Suns had Luka, Booker, and Chris Paul is all I'm gonna say. Maybe they don't get Chris Paul if they have Luka, but they could have had Luka.
Yeah,
like
very dumb. Very dumb.
Yeah, and I don't like the Suns are like good. Like I think they were top six. They're definitely top 10, but I think it was like top six, both offensive and defensive rating this year. Which is obviously very good. Chris Paul, I think he gets too much hate. I actually really like Chris Paul. And I don't like Booker, but he's a very good player, and he's going to get his buckets. But I think the Lakers have enough guys that they can throw at Booker defensively, like switch him up where instead of getting like 30, he's getting like 17 to 20 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Suns do not have anyone who can guard both AD and LeBron, which really no one in the league can, but it's, the Suns match up terribly with the Lakers. So, and I think we've learned to just not doubt LeBron in the playoffs. Like, if nothing else.
Yeah, he's just going to figure out.
He's not going to lose.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. I don't know if it's 9 or 10, but the last 9 or 10 times he's been in the playoffs, he's gone to the finals.
Yeah.
So.
He's like the Lakers. They have some issues. They're gonna be fine. He didn't look great in the playing game, and other people have said this. But then he ended up with a triple double and hit that three, that crazy 3-pointer. Like it's just like he can flip a switch like more than anyone else. Maybe in it, Michael Jordan never flipped the switch, but LeBron can turn it on and off like it will seemingly.
Yeah.
And even when it's off, he's amazing. But like when it's on, it's on like otherworldly.
Right.
I got Lakers in 6.
I'm going Lakers in 4.
You're going 4. You're not even giving them a chance.
Nope. 4 games for the Lakers.
I've been to many Phoenix Suns games when I used to live there, obviously. So I will give them a couple games. And I love Chris Paul. So I'll give them a couple games.
That's fair. I just, I don't know. I just think Anthony Davis is going to have average 40 in the series.
Yeah, he's gonna. It's gonna. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. But I'm very high on the Lakers. I'm very glad the Jazz aren't playing them.
Me too.
So the next game, the one we're watching, this is the my second most intriguing series. My favorite one in the West, for sure. That's the next one in the bracket, right? Portland, Denver.
Portland, Denver, okay. Yep.
That's what we're watching right now. Right now, Portland's up 31-28. I think Portland wins is the short answer.
Interesting. I don't know, because I think if Jamal Murray was playing, I think it would be Denver probably in 5 or 6, but I don't think there would be really any question about Denver winning the series. Without Jamal Murray, it's hard because Jokic is so good. I don't know who in Portland is going to guard Jokic, but I just feel like that backcourt is so good for Portland. I think Denver is really going to struggle with it.
I just think, and I don't want to base it too much on last year, but think of what Jamal Murray had to do for the Nuggets to do what they did
yeah.
in the playoffs. Like, he had to, like, break NBA records for the Nuggets to get past Utah and then get past – it was the Clippers. I'm not wrong, right? They beat the Clippers in the second round?
They beat the Clippers.
Yeah. Like, Jamal Murray was way better than Jokic in the playoffs last year. Even if Jokic was more important or whatever, Jamal Murray was the star of the show.
Absolutely.
If the Nuggets win, Michael Porter's going to have to just go off, like, become the, like, hyped-up player, number one recruit coming out of high school that he's shown and is getting a lot better. I feel like not a lot of people watch Denver. Michael Porter Jr. is awesome. He's not where people think he can be yet. I feel like he's going to have to take a huge step because Damian Lillard, I wouldn't say flips a switch on, but he definitely turns it up in the playoffs.
And in the playoffs, he's shown that he can play well, win series that we don't think they're going to. I mean, really, there was the series that got swept by the Pelicans, but that's really the only bad playoff outing we've seen of the Trailblazers in a long time. I mean, they've gone to the conference finals a few times. For several years, they got knocked out of the playoffs by the Warriors every year. But it was, you know, those years Warriors were just unstoppable. And they just got a bad draw ending up the Warriors every single time.
Yeah, honestly, that Pelican sweep was, like, one of the better things that happened to the Blazers. I just feel like they just have such a different mentality heading into the playoffs ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a legitimate playoff team. I think him and McCollum and, I mean, Carmelo's fun story. One of our buddies, Kyle Copier, is obsessed with him. I would trust, like, if it came down to one player, I'd trust Dame more than Jokic or Michael Porter or anyone. So that's why I'm picking the Blazers. Yep. If Jamal Murray was playing, it might be different because everything I said about Dame's still true, but Jamal Murray's just so spectacular. But I'm going Blazers in 6.
I'm going to go Blazers in 7 for this one.
I wish Jamal Murray was playing, though, because I actually love watching him play. He might be my favorite player to watch.
Interesting.
That doesn't play for the Jazz.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far, but he is definitely an underrated, really, really spectacular player.
Did you say 6 or 7?
7.
Okay.
Blazers in 7.
Okay, Blazers 7. Okay, I'll write that down. Yeah. No, I'm very excited about that series of that. And so Miami, Milwaukee's 1. Portland, Denver's 2. The next one's probably 3. Clippers, Dallas. As far as, like, intrigue, things I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think these teams are probably pretty closely matched. Lakers obviously have a lot more talent, but Luka's just been playing so well.
Luka, yeah, so Dallas won today. Luka last year willed Dallas to take it to 6. Like, they really shouldn't have even made it that far. That buzzer beater he hit was our little sister. He became his favorite player because, quote, he was so happy after he hit the buzzer beater.
Mm-hmm.
So she liked seeing he was happy, that Luka was happy after that shot. I wonder, I don't think it'll matter too much that the Clippers tanked to get to the 4. Like, I think they're professional athletes, and I think they'll be fine. I don't think that's going to affect this series a whole lot as far as, like, having to turn it back on or anything like that.
No, yeah, I'm not worried about that. I think the Clippers have to learn to turn it on because they're the Clippers, and they lost in the playoffs last year to the Nuggets. I think they have those problems, but I do not think tanking to avoid the Lakers is.
They do have other problems. Yeah, you're exactly right. And yeah, they don't get that benefit of the doubt. I think Paul George especially, until he does something in the playoffs. I was looking at his regular season stats. He's like one of three players to shoot. He shot like, I actually should have looked this stat up before. I just forgot about it until we were talking about it. But like, he just did something ridiculous, like a X amount of threes, X amount of percentage over like five seasons or something like that. He's one of like just a handful of players to do that. He's so good in the regular season, but because he sucks in the playoffs every year, we forget about him, right, how good he is, and don't appreciate him. Remember that Gatorade commercial where he's like, he had the buzzer beater and like had never made a buzzer beater or something like that?
I do remember that, yeah.
That was pretty funny. Back in his Indiana days. Yeah, was he bad in the playoffs with the Pacers? I don't even remember.
I mean, they took him to the Eastern Conference Finals one year.
The teams were really good, yeah. So. Yeah, but until I see it, and like, the Clippers have Kawhi, which I guess is more important than Paul George, but they need Paul George to be great. Otherwise, I think Luka can will the Dallas to make this an uncomfortable series. And I think Dallas can win, even though their roster, the more I look at it, the more I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, they got Porzingis, but there's nobody else that you're really thrilled with. I have some people that are, you know, okay and good enough to support Luka in getting to this fifth seed, which, you know, just a few weeks ago, it did not look like they were going to get this high.
Where did you rank Luka? Because I think he's just like as high as like possibly I can rank him as far as like just individual players. Just right off the bat, top five, top ten.
LeBron, KD, Kawhi, Giannis, AD. So I'm not going to go through anybody else. So, but he's not in the top five because of that. He's not ahead of any of those guys yet. I think he's pretty close to maybe catching Anthony Davis, though. But I will say top 10.
I think he's the next, like, superstar. Not just, like, all-star.
Yeah.
Love Luka. Big fan of him since his Real Madrid days.
Yeah.
I always like to try to get credit for that because I was on him early. Not like as early as NBA scouts, but like for regulars in the U.S.
Yeah.
I think Clippers win though, just because of Kawhi. I think it's going to be the same thing as last year. I think it might go seven. I think Dallas can win. I think Dallas might take it to seven. And they won today, so maybe picking the Clippers in six is dumb, just mathematically. So I'm going to go Clippers in seven.
Okay.
Because of that. Actually, I talked myself out of it.
I will go Clippers in six.
Okay.
So, I just think with the talent that the Clippers have, I just think it's going to end up being too much for Dallas.
Other than the first two series, we picked the same teams in every series.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually how NBA playoffs go, though. That's part of what happens when it's a best of seven series.
Can I just say, like, today and tomorrow, the first 2 days of the NBA playoffs, where there's four games, I enjoy more than the first 2 days of college basketball.
Of the March Madness?
Yeah.
Really? See, for me, the first 2 days of March Madness are the best 2 days of sports.
See, I just love, like, because you're watching the whole game of March Madness, you're not watching every game. Not every game is great. And I guess not every game in the playoffs is great, but I just love, like, having four intense, awesome games all day long, and then the same on Sunday.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that.
I like the NBA, but the NBA playoffs are so great. Yeah. So fun to watch. Love the playoffs and everything about them.
Yeah, NBA may have the best postseason.
I enjoy it thoroughly. Sports. I wish they'd go back. It was cool when they did five games in the first round instead of seven. Gives lower seeds more of a chance. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, we got one more series to talk about.
Uno mas, yep.
So, Jazz, yep. Grizzlies.
Yep.
I think we're going to both pick the Jazz. But I think, if the Grizzlies win, what's going to happen is John Morant's going to play great, which is very probable. Dylan Brooks is going to do a good job guarding Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's going to have a bad shooting game. The Jazz are going to have a couple games where they miss a lot of threes, just have a cold night. Like, that's what I think. It's going to happen at some point. Because, like, with Houston, remember when they missed the, 27 threes?
27.
The Jazz aren't going to miss 27. But there's going to have some cold nights. So there's definitely a reality where Memphis goes to six or seven. And there's a less likely reality, but still reality where Memphis wins the series.
Yeah.
It is possible.
Sure, they're a good team. I mean, they just won 2 playoff games, so clearly they know how to play well in intense elimination scenarios. John Morant is very, very, very good. I think he there's a really good argument for him to make the All-Star team this year. I think there's a very good chance that he makes it next year. And he's just fun to watch. He plays different than a lot of other guards. He's really fast, really, really athletic. So it's going to be fun to watch Royce O'Neal. I assume that Royce O'Neal will be guarding John Morant, so that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, so, yeah, just going through the matchups, and I don't have the whole Grizzlies lineup memorized, but, yeah, Royce O'Neal would be on Morant. I think they'd have Dylan Brooks on Mitchell. I think he's their best defender. They'd probably just go Valanciunas and Rudy, have them guard each other,
mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know who they'd have guard Bogdanović. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't say I know the roster for the Grizzlies right. super well.
Yeah.
These Jazz have, well, like I just said, they have Bogdanović, they have Clarkson coming off the bench. So you think of it as, like, who's going to guard who. The Jazz have more answers than the Grizzlies do. Mm-hmm. So, like, it shouldn't be a problem. Just, I think the way Memphis plays, and because John Morant is so talented, talent-wise, would you say he's third? Would you put him behind both Mitchell and Gobert? Just talent-wise, not ability, not, like, how good they are even, but just, like, potential raw talent?
He's more athletic than either of those two. I mean, Rudy was drafted the very back of the first round.
Yeah.
So
I think I don't want to overhype Morant, which I feel like I'm on the track to doing so. But he is very good, and he can have one or two nights at least where he's the best player in the game. Even if he's probably the third right now, like, consistently, there's definitely can be a night or a couple nights where he takes over, I think.
As much as I like Morant, I think he would be lucky to be the best player on the floor even one game, just because of how good Rudy Gobert is. I think Rudy's legitimately a top 10, certainly top 15 player in the league. So I think Rudy might be the best player on the floor every night. If Donovan scores 50, then it's going to be him, but I do not think that Ja's anywhere near where Rudy is.
I'm just trying to think of ways where we're not just talking about how good the Jazz are. I'm just trying to,
think
of how Grizzlies could win.
Yeah.
Which maybe I should have done with Washington. I didn't even try at all to think of how Washington could win. I don't think that's realistic at all.
Yeah, I don't think so. Even because Ja could definitely have a night where he scores 30, 40 for sure. I don't think he's going to end up being the best player on the floor. Yeah. I think that Rudy, Ja's going to have some really good dunks in the series, but I think that Rudy is going to limit that more than any other center in the NBA is able to, and I think that's going to really disrupt what the Grizzlies do.
Well, Memphis can't do what, like, Houston did when the Jazz played Houston 2 years in a row in the playoffs, where they play Rudy off the floor with their shooting and their style of play. They can't do that, and even, like, Denver did that to an extent last year, not nearly as much as Houston did.
Kind of. I don't know if Rudy ever got played off the floor. I think there were moments where we tried to play small, and it didn't really work. Denver, though, I mean, Rudy just always had to be in to deal with Jokic. And obviously nobody deals with Jokic. You're not going to stop Jokic. But if you really look at how Jokic plays against a lot of the other centers in the NBA, I mean, Rudy does better than average.
But the point being, Memphis can't do that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you've talked me. I was going to do Jazz in 6. You've talked me into Jazz in 5.
Yeah, I'm also going to say Jazz in 5.
I think part of it is just the Jazz have had a week off, and they're rested. Donovan's coming back. The Grizzlies are probably emotionally and physically drained. They're probably stoked
mm-hmm.
and on a high, but they're just tired. It's a lot of travel. They got to host the Memphis game, then went to Oakland, or I guess San Francisco now. Then they're flying to Utah. They've been here a couple days probably, playing tomorrow. So I think they're tired. So I think Jazz win game 1 for sure. I think Memphis will get one of the two in Memphis, but then Jazz take care of it back in game 5.
I agree. I agree with that.
Who do you think will come out of the West?
I actually have the Jazz.
Really?
I have the Jazz, and I know that the Lakers are the favorites to come out of the West. I just think that the Jazz are better equipped to deal with Anthony Davis than any team in the West. Obviously, Anthony Davis is going to play great. LeBron is going to be a problem because he's LeBron, and we don't really have an answer for LeBron. I don't know. I think that top to bottom, the Jazz have a better roster, though.
Yeah, I have the Lakers. I just don't want to. I'd rather be late to betting against LeBron than be early.
Yeah, it is dumb to pick against LeBron for sure.
I think I'm trying to think. So I think the Jazz will win. I think the Clippers will win. I think the Jazz will be the Clippers, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I think it'll be the Lakers versus the Jazz or the Clippers. I think the Jazz Clippers series, if that happens, will be a very good series.
Yeah, that's not a gimme for sure. I mean,
I think that'll go six because Kawhi is top five player.
Yeah.
If Paul George doesn't just wet the bed in the playoffs like he's been doing,
if Paul George figures it out, it's going to be very. They're difficult for anybody to beat.
Yeah, they're a really good team, and they shouldn't be the fourth seed. So I'm excited about that. I think it'll be. I think it's. There's more teams that can win it in the West. I guess there's three, and I think there's only two in the East that can legitimately win the East. So that's only one more team. So if you think about it, the Lakers, I would say Phoenix, but they're just playing the Lakers, so they don't. They're done.
All right. Yeah. That's tough matchup for Phoenix.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So I wrote everything down. I feel like last year we had a lot of different picks, but other than you picked the Bucks, I picked the Heat, and then you picked the Knicks, I picked the Hawks. Everything else was the same, but. So you have the Jazz playing Phil. Did I have Brooklyn or did you have Brooklyn?
You had Brooklyn.
So you have the Jazz playing the Sixers. I would love that finals. Who do you think will win?
Maybe I'm being hopeful as a Jazz fan, but I really have the Jazz. I think that the Jazz can beat the Sixers, and it would be great. There would be no team that the Jazz would like to beat in the finals more than the Sixers.
I would love to beat the Sixers so much. I think Brooklyn will beat the Lakers. I'm betting a lot. If I'm wrong, it'll be because I'm betting a lot on the Brooklyn offense that I really haven't seen full strength and how that's going to work. But
I mean, it's the worst it can be is rotate every possession between KD, James Harden, and Kyrie. Yeah. And that's a very good offense.
Yeah, so I think, so I talked about Miami-Milwaukee right now. That's the most series I'm excited about. Potential series, Utah-Clippers. I think Brooklyn-Philadelphia would be an awesome Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I think Philadelphia, Utah, and Brooklyn, Lakers would be great finals as well.
Yeah.
I think we're in for a great playoffs.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Playoff basketball is the best.
It's so exciting. I'm excited to not have any social life for about 2 months. But yeah, so that is that. So those are our playoff thoughts. We will, I don't know, we'll maybe do another mid-playoff thing, maybe a baseball thing. I don't know what's going on.
You know, pretty soon we're going to get to do an Olympic preview.
We'll do an Olympic preview.
And I am just going to talk about track and field. And all the distance runners and the marathon, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, we started doing this in 2018, I believe. So you haven't had a Summer Olympics.
Not had a Summer Olympics.
That's Matt's time to shine.
Yeah, it is.
One time we went, this was the Winter Olympics, but Matt went to a high school dance. It was a girl's choice, and he got asked, and I didn't. So I stayed home and watched downhill skiing. It was like the giant slalom, I believe. And Matt was going to the bathroom to having me text him or call, like give him updates on what was going on. He is into the Olympics.
I love the Olympics so much, especially the Summer Olympics. There's going to be no Usain Bolt, so we're going to have new champions in the 100 and 200 meters. It's going to be a lot of fun. Eliud Kipchoge is hopefully going to try to win a gold medal in the marathon, and I think he might lose. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Let's end with a trivia question, Matt, for the people that I'm 99. You definitely know it. You might have forgotten it, but you definitely know the answer. What is the one distance that is different for men and women in the Olympics?
Do you want me to tell the people?
Yeah, they've guessed at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is the women do 100 meter hurdles and the men do 110 meter hurdles.
If you're ever a sports bar trivia night, it's 100 meter and 110 meter hurdles respectively. Hurdle seems like the most miserable. Like the 400 meter hurdle seems awful.
I think the 800 is still probably more difficult at the Olympic level. But yeah, 400 meter hurdles would be just super difficult.
So we had a buddy, we'll end the podcast soon, but feel free to keep listening. Garrett Peck, our friend, ran college track and he ran the 400. There were some guys who ran both the 400 and 400 hurdles. And they said the 400 was harder because the jumping was like a break.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like, which hurdles seem so hard because those are high. You're jumping a lot. Mm-hmm. But they said it was easier. Like, and it's obviously not like a walk in the park, but they said like the 400, it's definitely either the 4-day, it's definitely the hardest race possible, like humanly possible to run. So I've always thought that was interesting when you told me that.
And by the way, quick aside on Garrett. So we went to junior high and high school together. And I always knew he would be good at track. He did not sign up until his senior year. And he ended up getting third in the state championship in the 100 meters. And I don't want to exaggerate, but I told him that he needed to sign up for track at least 400 times before that.
Yeah. Didn't even train. Got third.
Yeah.
He's awesome. But yeah, so we'll call it. This is a good thing, but it went a little longer than I thought. I was planning on about 30 minutes. We're at about 51 right now. Yeah. So not a bad thing.
Good basketball.
So hopefully the Jazz win, and we'll keep track of the picks and talk to you guys later.